Hello, friends, and welcome back to Like Anime, a podcast with all your anime opinions. Yes, these are your opinions. We're just spouting them off because we tap into the ether. We being me, George, and with me, as always, Tony.
Hello.
Hello.
You were expecting me to interrupt you during that, weren't you?
I mean, I'm always prepared for a predator to strike.
I figured not saying anything would disrupt you more than if I had actually interrupted you.
I like it. You got you're thinking in circles.
That's right.
We're back again. We're in the midst of talking about new episodes. We got new summer 2021 coming at you. If you're checking them out, if you're checking us out to see if it's something you might be interested in, welcome. We're here to spout some nonsense and see what sticks.
And if you're returning after having listened to us for a full season, welcome. Nice to see you again.
Thank you. Good job making it through all that.
Stole that from Curtis again.
Take it all. Super easy. Barely an inconvenience. Yeah, we're doing a new thing here where we just kind of open casually, you know? We check in with each other. How you doing, Tony?
What?
And then we move on to our news segment, which is a new segment of news.
New news, new news, new news, new news.
Dun, dun, dun.
That's the bumper music.
I like it. We get new bumper music made on the spot each time we do this. Jumping right in, let's see what we got. So Marie Okada, who has done some stuff.
Kondo?
Marie Okada.
Okay. So not Kon Mari.
No.
Okay.
But she's involved in a production of a new film. I think it's a film. Maybe it's a series. It's an original anime film called Alice to Terise no Maboroshi Kojo, or Alice and Terise's Illusory Factory. Hmm. And it has this sort of... sort of gothic kind of like dark gothic aesthetic to it, and it looks kind of cool, like maybe a little steampunk, but it's got some cool color palette going on here. But anyway, it looks kind of cool. It's got people that worked on Angel Beats, the show Another, some Persona stuff. No release date.
You can't say it that way.
What?
Anaza.
The show Anaza.
That's been an inside joke since we watched that show so many years ago.
It's true. And we never finished it either, but
that's true.
Or I didn't, but
you didn't.
That's kind of why we started this. For me anyway, this podcast is helpful because I have to, I can't just drop things without a good reason. So I like that. Keeps me honest.
Yeah. All right. Fair enough. I mean, you can, you just have to make up a reason that's better than your actual reason.
Well, I'm keeping it 100. I'm not gonna, you know, I'm keeping it honest with you guys. Like, if there's something I don't like, I'm gonna tell you. And if Tony keeps watching it, I'll still always be curious to hear if it gets better. I just wanted to mention, I haven't actually watched it yet, but the French wing of Adult Swim posted a Rick and Morty / Totoro, My Neighbor Totoro, claymation short, collision of Rick and Morty and Ghibli going on here. I haven't watched it yet.
And claymation.
Yeah, that's still from it. Tony and I are going to have to watch this after we finish recording this episode. But yeah, if you're interested in that, and check that out. Looks Studio Dean produced it, which is...
I've heard of them.
Yeah, that's kind of interesting. And what else we got here? Crunchyroll is doing a movie night online where you can join them and watch certain movies. Not all of them are available in the U.S., but some of them are. October 1st, they're going to watch My My Miracle, which is available in the U.S. December 1st, they're going to watch Tokyo Marble Chocolate, which I've never heard of.
This feels like a long ways off.
Yeah, it is. But they announced it, you know. I'm curious. There's another movie called Relative Worlds, which I'm not sure when they're watching that one or if it's available in the U.S., But I don't know, something you could do if you're, and maybe you live outside the U.S. You can check out their whole list they got going on from starting from August through the through next year. And let's see if I got anything else. Yeah, that kind of does it. We had talked
about. Sounds like we're scraping the bottom of the barrel of the news here.
Well, hey, you know, I mean, there's only so much news. We had a backlog and we ran out.
Yeah.
There is a new Skate Infinity. I don't think I didn't finish that show, although I want to, but I don't think it's a second season. It's some sort of offshoot or related in some way.
Oh, okay.
And then there is a movie for, what's that show called?
Sword Art Online?
Yes, yeah, Sword Art Online.
Yeah.
I don't know what that's about either, but that's coming out.
They released some new visuals or something. It was announced a while ago, I think, but it's got a really long title. I don't remember.
Mm. Okay. That's a show you were into at one point.
Scraping the bottom of the barrel here, folks. We're trying to make it to the 7-minute mark talking about news. We got a ways
so
to go.
Close. We got one more minute. But screw that. We can move on. There's no rules around here.
In other news, Pokemon's did something.
Oh, there actually was some Pokemon news because I didn't put it in my thing, but
I was just being obnoxious and it worked out.
Because the troops in Afghanistan, the US
Oh,
troops,
I read that. Yeah.
Yeah, there's now like a complete deficit in the Pokemon Go.
Yeah, there was a base in Afghanistan where there were a couple of sites where Pokemon gyms existed, but now that base, forward operating base or whatever, has been basically abandoned by U.S. troops.
Yeah, there's no one there.
And like, yeah, one of them was held for like a week and a half by an Aaron at the top of the gym or something.
I think
right?
There was like a Lotad mentioned too.
Oh yeah, Lotad was on one of them. Yeah, yeah, you're right.
So yeah, if you got weak Pokemon and you're looking to dominate a gym, I mean, it's a quick vacation to Afghanistan.
Quick jaunt to Afghanistan, and you can hold that gym for forever. I mean, for me, I was thinking, well, that kind of sucks because I assumed that these were like troops that had taken over the gyms before they left, and then like no one's there, so no one ever conquers them, so they're never going to get their coins for holding the gym for.
That's true.
You know, yeah. Anyway, whatever.
It's funny. It's amusing that that's a headline. Like,
yeah.
Not that just troops were withdrawn, but how's Pokemon Go doing?
Well, it's news as it relates to me, which means it has something to do with Pokemon, I guess, right?
Yeah, it's like, how can we get you interested in this?
That's right.
So it's fun. But yeah, I'm glad you brought that up. I'd almost forgotten about that.
I had also.
But shall we move on to an announcement we have to make.
Announcement.
Which is a bit exciting.
Oh, wait, we need bumper music. It's time for an announcement. It's the special challenge of the season.
Can I get a Fruba?
Fruba.
So, for the uninitiated, Fruba is the shortened version of Fruits Basket, which is a popular show that is based on a manga that originally was turned into an anime in the 2000s.
Early 2000s, yeah.
And I have fond memories of it. I watched it in high school. And it was infamously known for its abrupt ending. It did not at all adapt the entirety of the manga, and it just kind of ends with no resolution or conclusion. That being said, I never went back and read the manga. I'm guessing you didn't either.
Nope, never did.
But had a similar reaction to it. But yeah, if you weren't aware, they've been reanimating it. And I assume this is one of those like Fullmetal Alchemist Brotherhood situations where they're doing a more faithful adaptation to the source material.
I think it's been said that was the intention.
That's the case, yeah. And that's Sailor Moon Crystal, which we'll be covering that a couple weeks later this month. So that's exciting too. But yeah, we decided to cover this. And there's 5 cores, if you will, or 5 12 episode runs of this. And it has recently just ended.
12-ish episodes. The first season is 25, second season's 25, third season's 13.
Okay.
So yeah, 5 cores.
Okay. An
easy way to say it, I suppose. And we will be covering it throughout this season. We'll just sort of be reporting in every few weeks once we get through one of the cores. So like our first will be at episode 12 or 13 of the first season, which for us is going to end up being week four of our summer podcast season, because week three is a week off for us where we'll be airing some other specials that we've recorded in advance. The first one, week two. We're pushing it up a week, not pushing it back a week. Yeah. So we're pushing it up a week. So the first core will be week two, and the second core will be week five, which we're pushing back because we have to play catch up during week four because of missing week three.
Yeah. And as if we didn't already have enough to watch, we're going to shoehorn in some Fruits Basket.
Yeah. We're just going to watch 63 episodes of a show that has just finished weeks ago.
It's time to cover it.
Yeah. And we had thought about doing it as a special or something, but there's so much material. It feels like, like how long would that special be?
Yeah, it'd be long. And
I think
it'll be easier on us just to break it up into these shorter deadlines of watching it.
So week two, week five, beyond that, I'm not sure exactly what it is. Every couple-ish weeks, we'll be checking in with it.
And this show has been, this newer Fruits Basket show has been very well received. It seems to, if you look on a lot of the ratings on My Anime List or Anime News Network or wherever you get your anime rankings, it's pretty beloved at this point.
So. Yeah, it seems like once it finished, like it was lower in rankings on like My Anime List, and then as soon as it finished, it went whoop.
Nice. People are waiting to how are they going to stick this landing?
Yeah,
which deservedly so, based on the original anime. There's a lot weighing on how they end it.
Yeah, apparently they did a good job based on little cool things that I've heard, spoiler free things that I've heard. Fortunately, nice. Spoiler free, I would say, I guess. But
I haven't heard much, but I'm very excited. And if you listening to this are interested, you could watch along with us. We're gonna, you got like a week or two to watch the first core.
We're doing approximately 5 episodes per week, although we are accelerating to 13 in the first 2 weeks here, and then we're pushing the other one back. So it's a little wonky, but it's approximately 5 episodes per week. So
yeah. It could be fun. It's on Crunchyroll and it's on Funimation, so it's dubbed on Funimation if that's your thing. So, yeah, check it out if you like. We're just giving you a heads up. We're going to be covering that something extra this season. If you don't give a crap about any of these new shows, we're going to talk about Fruits Basket.
I don't give a crap about any of these new shows.
Yet.
For the most part.
I'm invested already. That being said, perhaps we should segue into a show I believe you did like.
Oh, a new show that I liked?
Yeah, a new show. Oh, wait, no, I'm jumping ahead of myself.
You are.
Well, it's a show we both watched anyway.
Okay.
So let's see how it went.
Maybe I liked it, maybe I didn't. Let's find out.
The detective is already dead.
Oh, yeah, I didn't like that.
Dun, dun.
Spoilers. I didn't like it.
Spoiler, the detective is already dead, and I didn't like it. I didn't care about the deadness.
You go ahead. You got a synopsis, I think, right?
I do. Overpowered Lady Sherlock cons man into being her quote-unquote Watson. So we have this main character. I didn't write down his name, but he has this problem where he constantly finds himself unwittingly involved in these scrapes or
troublesome
crimes.
Situations.
Yeah. He gets sucked into robberies and just anything. They show a whole, and I guess I should also state that this was similarly to a show you watched that we covered last episode, Remake Our Life. This was a, extended, premiere. It was a 40 plus minute,
double episode. Yeah.
Premiere. Yeah. And at first I was like, oh God, here we go. But, I actually really like this show. I take some issues with it, but by and large, like, it was funny. I laughed out loud several times. You're giving me a look of
I was just trying to think of what was funny in this show.
Well, I guess I'll have to make that case, but just have to premise a little more. This guy gets involved, as he does, in a scheme where he's forced at gunpoint or something. We don't get much information on the setup there, but he's forced to take an attaché case that he does not know the contents onto a plane and take it to some destination And so he, I don't know, he just does it. He's kind of used to it at this point. I got that, like, he's just like, whatever. And then on that flight, he runs into this girl who turns out to be this very adept detective.
Attention passengers, is there a detective on board? Have you ever heard that on a plane?
Well, that's also what he thinks.
Have you ever seen that in a movie where they say that on a plane? They're usually looking for a doctor, right? Yeah, all right, I'm going to go back to sleep then.
Like, nope, we need a detective.
Yeah, weird.
And then she's like,
I'm a detective.
And then she's like, hey, be my sidekick. But here's the thing. I don't want to get huge into spoilers on this, but like he gets wrapped up into her dealings and it pays off in the sense that it all makes sense in the end of why she picked him and why, you know, they at least go to those lengths. It's not just like, why is any of this happening? Like they do tie a lot of that together. Now granted some of there's basically the first part on the plane and there's a villain and that villain is, you know, I wasn't huge on him. But most of my appeal this show came with the humor that mostly took place after this plane incident when they, you know, she's essentially trying to get him to become her sidekick. And that I found it hilarious, a lot of her approaches to that. Like he's in the bath and she's kind of sitting outside like trying to, you know, convince him, and then whenever he says something like I'm never doing that, she's like, what, I didn't catch that. I hear you now, conveniently. It was like stuff like that. And there's more. I wrote down some notes, but what did you think? Because clearly we had different takes.
What I thought was I don't know exactly what I was expecting this show to be, but this is not the show that I was expecting this show to be. An episodic detective dramedy show is not what I was looking for.
Yeah. What were you expecting, though? I'm curious.
That's what I'm saying. I don't know exactly what I was expecting. It's just, this is very different from what I was expecting, I guess. I don't know. Like, I expected it to be more clever than witty, maybe. Like, the wit seems to be sort of the main thing here, which, I mean, you said you found it funny. I didn't find it particularly funny. I felt it like it was trying to be funny, but not achieving that very well. And I don't know. I was planning to drop this show tonight, but in our conversation prior to recording this episode, George said he was going to still watch it. So I'm going to give it another episode with the hopes that it will improve. But yeah, for me right now, it's like, it's a low 5 out of 10 and it could improve. And I'll give it another shot and see where it goes. It might not end up going where I think it's going now, which is that episodic. If it's like a deeper story or something, then I might get back into it. But right now it looks like it's just going to be sort of an episodic, like every episode is solving another mystery sort of thing.
Yeah. And that could be. It's hard to say, even though this is an extended debut episode, it's hard to say like, where it's going to find its footing. But I don't know. Like, I mean, I feel like if your rating is that low, you should just drop it at this point and see, you know, let me be the guinea pig, you know, because I'm doing that with you for a number of shows. And we agreed that we would make a deal at the 3 or 4 episode.
Oh, I see. So you want me to drop it so you can force me to watch it later?
Well,
I'm watching it. This was a double episode. I only have to watch one more to get past 3, and then you can't force me to watch it again.
I think this technically only counts as the episode 1, though.
All right, fine.
I'm not trying to force you to do anything. I'm just based on your low 5 rating. Like if I rated something a low 5, it's getting dropped. Like,
I mean, it's not like I rated it a 3.
Well, that's true.
Or a 4, which would definitely be an immediate drop.
Yeah.
A 5 is like, generally with 5s, I tend to lean towards giving them, you know, up to the 3 episode mark to improve that. You know, if they go 3 episodes and they're just still a 5, then, you know, they're done.
Yeah.
With this one, I was leaning towards dropping it because it was a low 5, but the fact that you're into it makes me want to rethink my opinion of it. And, okay. And I'm going to watch the next episode. You can't stop me from watching the next episode, George.
I definitely cannot. All I know is I laughed out loud during several scenes of it.
Maybe we need to watch this together because I guess I don't know when to laugh.
I could let you know. I mean, there was one where I'm looking at my notes and it's just like, just the idea of it doesn't seem that funny, but it's like after the whole plane incident, I don't know if I can spoil that, but it's like, it's revealed that she's the one that set him up with this, this job to deliver this case. Right.
Yeah.
And so she's basically goading him into being her sidekick, like setting him up with all the tools he needed to help her and therefore like be, you know, be a part of whatever she's, you know, doing.
Yeah. I think the only thing that you can't spoil about this episode is that the title is accurate. Just don't say that. And I think
even though none of that was explained, just the end, like, oh yeah, she's dead. Wait, what? Is she a ghost or what is that? I'm trying to get to one line that I wrote down that I laughed at where, what did he say? He was like,
I don't know.
He was like, I can't remember what he said, but her response was like, maybe you should blame yourself for not escaping my clutches. Like that was her line. I like her attitude and her, she's very like kind of self-aware and the whole like, I hesitate to call it gag, but her whole character is, you know, she's like a Sherlock type. And so she's very, very clever and witty and is like multiple steps ahead. Right. So she's
so many steps ahead.
So many. And
you
so they
consider it unbelievable.
Yes. And there isn't. And like I said, in my synopsis, she's an overpowered Lady Sherlock. And that is true.
Yeah, that's accurate.
But I thought it, for me, it worked because of the humor and because of, like their relationship intrigued me because there's a couple scenes of him just because they're spending so much time together and he is, you know, sort of in that adolescent age. They both are.
Is he, how old is he? Is he a high school student?
I think they're like teenagers. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
It seems to, I mean, I don't know how old she is, but he seems to just be like a average teenager.
I think she's indicated to be basically the same age he is. So,
yeah. Seems to be. But they've toyed with the idea of him basically just because of the proximity of the time they spent together, like he's starting to like have feelings for her. And so there's been like, there's no perviness really, but there's been some shots, like there's one shot that was like kind of close on her chest where I was like, ugh. But that was kind of it. But they're playing it up to, which I liked of him getting confused about the reason she's interested in him versus, oh, a cute girl is like paying attention to me. And so I like that dynamic because it doesn't seem like the tone of the show itself is going to go perverted in that sense, but it gets tricky with anime where it's like the camera's perverted versus the character is having those thoughts or those emotions. And to me, this is more the latter where it's like, I can get on board with a character struggling with that versus like a camera making me feel like the pervert, you know?
I see.
So anyway, that's my case of Detective. I liked it. Seven out of 10.
I have some similar justification to do on the next show.
Ooh.
That I'm going to talk about, I think.
Yes, and there's definitely some perviness in that. And that show is The Duke of Death and His Maid.
Yeah. So, fair enough, this is basically what it looked like in the preview. Like, it has some of that perviness and stuff to it. But it seems like it's going to have more depth than you would think from the HE vibes that are given off in the preview and also in the show. So the Duke of Death, he's called that. He's not called that in the show, but he's called that in the title because he is, I don't know if he's actually a Duke or not, but he's some sort of elite British society thing or something.
Like a noble or something.
Yeah, noble. That's the word I was looking for. He's some sort of nobleman who has basically been separated from his family and everyone he knows because a witch cursed him at some point in his life. And now anytime he touches something, it dies. So his family sort of sent him off. They got him like a country home, or they took one of their country homes that they already owned and they sent him there, and he was just there, I guess, by himself. Like maybe he has a butler or something like that, but he was there by himself for a long time. And then after some time, apparently, Alice, the maid, shows up, who he knew as being the eldest daughter of the servants that his parents had at their house, right?
Okay.
So she's about his age, but maybe like a little older, a couple years or something older.
And she sought him out, presumably, or she just shows
up? Sort of seems to be the case. Like, it seems like she told him that his family sent her there, but it also seems other things indicate that maybe that's not the case, that she chose to go there by herself.
Okay.
For whatever reason. And yeah, so like the perviness is all there. She is constantly flirting with him and putting her boobs in his face and all that sort of stuff. And yes, the camera is a pervert as well. And the character, our main character, the Duke, as it were, whose name I actually don't even know, is uncomfortable with it because she's sort of enticing him to maybe touch her, which would then kill her. But obviously he doesn't want to do that. And she seems to get enjoyment out of, you know, sort of teasing him.
Yeah.
Because her defense to it is that she's brightening his spirits, because otherwise he'd just be all glum and gloomy all the time, right?
And she's aware that he can't touch her.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. And she does it, like I say, purposefully to sort of lift his spirits, because otherwise, I mean, yeah, think about the situation he's in. He can't ever touch any other person ever for the rest of his life. And if she just, if she wasn't there, his existence would be very bleak. And anyway, so yeah, she's like, she is the bright spot in his existence, basically. Mm-hmm. And at the same time, he's sort of like, I don't know what the word is. He's sort of resistant to her behavior. Like he's as uncomfortable with what she's doing as we as the anime watchers are, right?
Yeah.
He's like, oh, don't do that. What are you doing? Right? And it's great. And she's a very likable character. And I think we as the anime watchers are supposed to sort of, you know, see ourselves in his place, and we're supposed to like her and find her attractive and want her to be, you know, HE towards us, right? Mm. Like that's sort of the setup for it.
Yeah.
But it's doing it intentionally, and it's doing it in such a way that it feels natural. It's not just like HE thrown in for fan service, right?
Yeah.
I mean,
it's baked into the premise.
It is, but yeah, it's baked into the premise. Mm. Yeah. Anyway, so the story, I don't really know where it's going from here. There's been some indications like that it's going to involve more characters coming to visit him, I guess, basically. And
female ones?
Well, no, I don't know that that's the case. I mean, in this episode, we did have a male character, a childhood friend of his who came to visit. And he was really happy at first that this childhood friend of his was going to come and visit, because he was the only one who, after he had gotten cursed, had made him, you know, sort of feel better about it and everything. But then his childhood friend shows up and is sort of a jerk and is sort of afraid of him, because if he accidentally touches him, he'll die.
Yeah.
That sort of thing. The sort of thing you would expect in everything, right?
That's a good friend. I mean, a lot of lesser friends would be like, I'm not going to hang out with that guy.
Yeah. But eventually he reveals that the only reason that he even came out there was because our main character's mother wanted to know how he was doing, and basically forced this, lesser noble come out to check on him, basically. Anyway, yeah, the story is, I don't know where it's going. It's good enough thus far. The 3D CG is pretty lacking, to be honest with you.
That was going to be one of my questions.
Yeah. It looks like in the preview. You know, it's
but it's watchable enough for you to be interested in it.
Yeah, the animation is, I would say, not good, but the story sort of overcomes that.
Okay. What about like some of these like parts where she's enticing him, right? Like, does the animation hurt that, you know, when she's trying to be, I don't know, sexy or, you know, I'm not sure what happens, but she's trying to tease him.
Yeah. I mean, she's not, I don't think she's portrayed as like super sexy or anything like that. It's, she's portrayed more as like sweet.
Oh, okay.
It's
not a completely lewd, like.
Yeah. Portrayal. But I mean, they're, you know, again, pervy things, jiggly boobs, you know, whatnot.
Yeah.
The sort of thing you would expect from that sort of pervy nature that you saw in the preview.
Yeah.
But does the animation take away from that? I don't think so. No. I think the story is successful, and I don't think the animation takes away from it. The story being like her sweetness and just being there and trying to uplift his spirits whenever she sees him sort of being glum or whatever.
Mm.
And the animation doesn't hurt it enough. Like, the animation is not good, like I said, but
yeah.
I don't think it hurts it, because the story is sort of the main reason that we're even watching any of these things, right?
Yeah.
And I think the story is good enough and accomplishes what it's trying to accomplish. Hmm. And the only other note I have is basically that I don't think the poor CG 3D stuff is going to bother me, because the story is good enough to overcome it. That was the last note I had there. And I gave this a 6 out of 10.
Oh, wow.
Yes. So this is my other not absolutely mediocre thing.
Damn.
The characterization of the two main characters, Alice and the Duke, we'll call him, because again, I don't even know his name. I'm pretty sure it's never said. If I'm wrong, let me know on the social medias, please, because
you'll find out.
I don't like to sound dumb.
Well, I kind of like, during the first episodes, I didn't write down a lot of characters' names unless they were, you know, had been, unless the show was successful enough to, you know, let me know, make me care enough. But yeah, it sounds interesting. I remember watching the trailer, the 3D CG looked bad, but it's not good, but it looked quaint in the sense that, you know, like, it's hard to hate on, because like,
so like the art style is somewhat unique and interesting, mm-hmm. like on its own, separate from the poor animation.
Yeah. It's like when they start to move much action, you know?
Yeah.
Or, you know, yeah.
I mean, when they move at all, really.
When they're just like talking, sitting in chairs and talking.
Yeah. When they move at all, you notice the 3D CG animation.
Okay.
Like, every time.
Yeah.
It's not good. I'm not trying to make you think that it is. It's not good.
It's not good.
The art itself is fine. Like, as a still frame, if you looked at any single frame,
it's all right.
It looks good. Right. But yeah, the animation is not good. But the story can overcome all of that, can overcome everything else even, you know,
That's fair enough. I think we come from different perspectives where, like, if the show, to me, if a show looks good, like anime looks good, it goes a long way. Granted, I need more than that, but it's kind of a little higher on my priority list. But anyway, premise-wise, not that I watched the show, but it kind of reminds me of, like, Nagatoro-san.
Teasing bit, yeah.
But she's not, it's not mean-spirited.
Right,
it's
right.
Like, she's doing it out of virtue.
Yeah, Nagatoro is a jerk.
Yeah.
I think.
She's purposely trying to antagonize versus lift the spirits, as you said.
Right, yeah. And that's the distinction that I enjoy about it, yeah.
Yeah, that's nice.
And I mean, honestly, like, even the perviness doesn't bother me, because I'm just, like, buying into it, right? Like,
yeah.
I don't know.
That's part of it.
Yeah. I'm sold on the concept enough that that I enjoy the fan service, which is not usual. Usually the fan service stands out as just like, oh, that's been glommed on to give us a reason to show her boobs. And in this, it feels so much more natural. I don't know. I've talked about it for way too long, because this is supposed to be one of the short takes. but I enjoy the show thus far.
We can move on after this. I would just say that I relate in the sense I can bring up a show that you do not like.
Prison School?
No.
Oh.
That too. But I guess...
That's another one of those, like, it knows what it is.
Yes.
And
it knows what it is. And it's part of it. It's not...
Yeah.
It's not trying to just put it in there and ignore it. Yeah. It's part of, it's central.
Of the story. Yeah. All right. Fair enough.
So prison school, I was going to bring up Kill la Kill, which, because nudity is a big, theme of the show.
See, I didn't get that far into it, but, yeah. I can see what you mean with the clothes being like the alien creatures or whatever.
Yeah.
And I know that there's jokes that are made about that.
And, yeah.
Yeah. And, okay.
Yeah. So, but I like that. I like when the show addresses it. It's like when the camera is just doing a panty shot during a normal conversation.
Right.
I'm calling out Rosario Vampire, god awful show. Sorry, okay. People who like that.
Haven't seen it.
Yeah, I only saw the first episode and I refused to go further. But anyway, yeah, when they actually take the care to make it, you know, to work it in somehow, like I respect that in the least, like compared to all these other you know, shows that don't.
And I would say that it's even sort of an essential part of the story in this.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Which is it's if you're gonna go that route, I think you should do that.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Well, that concludes that one and brings us into our final show. Although we do have a special thing we're going to do at the end to commemorate the end of spring.
Yes.
2021.
Because this episode would be really short otherwise.
Yeah, well, you know, short episode, not too bad. But this last show we're going to talk about is a show we both watched. It's called Life Lessons with Uromichi Oni-san.
Uromichi Oni-san. All right, so for me, this is not what I expected this show to be yet again.
Me neither.
I mean, it sounds like. But this is a collection of shorts, essentially.
Yeah.
Feels like, anyway.
I mean, it definitely felt like it, yeah.
Like one-page manga sort of stuff, almost.
A large portion of it. I not all of it, but yes.
I mean, I was hoping that there was, like, a deeper story, that darkness was, like, a thing, like a thread throughout.
Yeah.
Which it's sort of, it's not really a thread, it's more of just an overlying theme, I guess.
Yeah.
And it's not even really that dark. I don't know.
It's more like cynical.
I was disappointed with what I got based on what I expected, but that doesn't mean that it's bad.
Yeah.
It's fine for what it's trying to do, and I'll give it, you know, more episodes to try and see what it's really trying to do. It was entertaining enough. It was just the short takes, the multiple short takes comprising the episode is what threw me off, not what I was expecting.
Yeah, I agree with that, because in a certain extent, it's a lot of like little gags that all fit into this dynamic of a, you know, jaded 30-something-year-old hosting this like young children's show.
Right.
And
it's the same joke a lot.
Yeah. But then, I like the little, there's a lot of little wisdom that he imparts to these young children do not understand any of it, yeah. Which I like that aspect, but it's all very cynical too. Like he's so jaded as a, you know, like there's one part where, you know, one of the little girls that he's on the set is like, oh, why, you know, you're in your 30s and you're not married. You don't have kids.
My dad's 29 and he's got two kids.
Yeah. So what's wrong with you? And I love that dynamic, because it's like the child doesn't mean anything by it. They're completely innocent. They're just making an observation. But he is taking it, you know, in complete context of his life and what he has going on. Like his baggage is on full display.
Right. And he answers them as such as well.
Yeah.
Like he's like, well, not every man, blah, blah, blah. I don't remember what his answer to that particular girl is.
But, yeah. You know, yeah.
People lead different lives and take different paths and whatnot. Yeah.
And the whole gag relies on this like tonal switch of like a super happy, you know, putting on this mask
on camera.
Yeah. But then while he's on camera, he'll switch to these, like he's still smiling, but his tone kind of is a tone of his voice drops. And he says, like, he doesn't really say like evil or dark things. He says things that are true to life, that are real.
But things that you wouldn't say to children.
Yeah. You wouldn't say to a child. And not only because they wouldn't understand it, but because they can't, you know, it's not relative to their life. Like,
yeah, the dichotomy of his cheerful happiness versus his dark side reminds me of how cheerful and happy you are on the mic, and then how merciless you beat me after we're off mic.
Yep, I have a belt with always within arm's reach. I always edit out the lashings.
I'm sorry, George. I didn't mean to say that you were wrong.
If you're going to be physically abusive on a podcast, just make sure you're the one editing that podcast.
That's right. Yeah, do it that way.
So I agree with you that like a lot of this episode was those same kind of gags, but what elevated it for me was when we got introduced to some of the other coworkers that are on the show, people that, that go on, you know, have different segments as part of the show. And, they're all similarly, but slightly differently jaded. Two of them, one of them wears a bear costume, one of them wears a bunny costume, and they're both like friends of Udomichi, but they're both terrified of him as well.
Yeah, well, they're both his kohai from the physical fitness college that they all went to or whatever.
Oh, that's right, yeah. And so they all go out drinking together, and there seems to be like a looseness there, but it's like when they're at work, they're in his presence, they're intimidated by him. Like, he not only scares the children to a certain extent, but scares them as well. And so I like that, how that carries over. And then we meet there's another, a guy and a girl that, that also have parts on the show. And so that's what kind of intrigued me, because like, if it would have just been Udomichi and the kids and that whole gag, it's like, all right, that's, you know, for a 20-minute episode, that's a bit much. Like, this should have been like a 3 to 5 minute short.
Yeah.
But when I introduced those other characters and their dynamics, I'm intrigued. Similarly to you, I don't know where it's going to go, if it's going to have a more depth or more plot. But I hope so. And I feel like there's an inkling of that. And so I rated this much higher than you did. But
I hope so as well. But I don't think there's any through story here. I think it's all just bit segments. Like, we've got a bit of an ensemble with the characters, but I don't know. Yeah. So speaking of ratings, how did you rate it?
I gave it a light 7. I gave it a light 7 because,
oh, damn, really?
Because I liked a lot of the jokes. It was weird watching it. Like, rating might be a little generous, because it wasn't, there was parts of it where it definitely dragged. But I liked what it was going for, and I guess my hope is built into that rating, where I hope it's going to do something more. I hope this was just an introduction to these key characters, and it's going to somehow, because this felt weird, but in a good way to me. Like, I don't know if I've seen an anime
it felt like this. It felt like Goku Shufudo to me, where it's just like the same joke 6 times per episode.
Yeah, and it very well could be.
And I enjoyed that show, so I'm not, you know,
yeah.
I'm not trying
what
to
show
say
was
anything.
That?
House Husband.
Oh yes, which I didn't see, but yeah. I had a great intro song, I will say.
We'll get to that later. But yeah, it felt like that, just very like I'm watching 6 different episodes within the one episode, essentially.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, and there's all these different gags, and
I would love to see there be a through story, something tying it all together, maybe a little bit more character interaction. I don't know that it needs to be darker than it is, but I would like if it focused on that a little bit more.
Yeah.
Then just the comedic aspect of the darkness, you know?
Yeah. Well, I'm hoping for some interrelational drama between these cast members.
Yeah.
I'm hoping it does something with that, because it hasn't really set up any like arc or adventure or call to action.
It hasn't set up really anything other than just to say this is a kid's show and these are the presenters of the show and they all basically hate their jobs.
And despite all of the, it's called Life Lessons with Udomichi, so I assume that's what the children's show within the show is called.
No.
No? What's it called?
Something Mon Mon.
Oh, okay.
I think is the name of the...
Well, I was just
Mon Mon. Mon, I don't remember.
I was just assuming that because the director has no notes, except that Udomichi's killing it. Good job. Thumbs up.
Director?
Well, yeah, they show...
Oh, the director of the show, in the show.
Yeah, within...
I thought you meant the director of the anime. He hasn't done anything else before? Really?
Talking about like within the show.
Yes.
The show that he's filming.
Right.
The director, there's one part where they're like, all right, we're going to take a break. And he walks past the director like, you're doing great. He's like, sweet.
Yeah, right after Udomichi, you know, says something horrible to a child.
Yeah.
Basically.
Which says what's so funny is it's not something you would say to a child, but it's also not something that is like atrocious either, but it's just like, why would you say that? Not like, you know, you should be arrested, but that just seems inappropriate.
I don't know. Yeah. Again, I hope there's more of a through, line, story, and more, yeah, what you were saying, character interaction, something developing between the characters that continues for more than, you know, 5 or 6 minutes.
Yeah. Like, my last note on here was coworker dynamics are fun, but will they have arcs or just gags?
I'd say the latter probably, but, you know, we'll see.
Yeah. Just based on this one episode, I mean, if that's all it's going to be, I still enjoyed this first episode, so I stand by my rating, but, you know, if it goes somewhere else, that's even better.
Yeah. It's amusing enough. Like, if you're just looking for light levity without any weight or anything, this is probably a good show to watch. I just was expecting more weight to it, I think.
This was another 5 out of 10 for you, I'm guessing.
Yeah, everything's a 5 out of 10.
This season, I mean,
seems like, other than the 2 sixes.
What better place
to
start?
And the 1 3. Did I ever say in the episode with Scarlet Nexus that it was a 3?
Oh, I don't think so.
No, it was a 3.
Damn.
It was awful.
I gave it a 5, but honestly.
Yeah, you are generous.
Yeah. But if you're dropping it, it's like, who cares anyway?
Anyway, I guess that pretty much does it for Urumichi Onii-san, which the Japanese title doesn't say anything about life lessons. It's really just his name. All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back. Not that you went anywhere. You probably didn't even know I was gone, so there's no reason to say that. All right, ladies and gentlemen, this is the Like Anime Spring 2021 Anime Award. All right, what's the first category?
Best opening.
Best opening. You want me to start that?
All sure. Right.
Pink Blood is the opening for Fumetsu no Anata-e, and it is a beautiful, lovely, gorgeous, lovely, great song that I love very much.
Pink Blood. Pink Blood. Utada Hikaru.
Yes.
Who recently came out as non-binary, and she did each...
Well, she's non-binary, so would you say she?
Well, I don't know. They. And they...
It's funny because I said she came out as non-binary, so...
She came out as non-binary, would you say she?
They came out as non-binary.
Utada also did the theme for each Evangelion movie.
Yes. And last season, we were listening to Winter 2021 stuff, and... I think it was before she came out as non-binary, so I can say she at
there
that point, right?
There you go, right? That counts.
That's not right. They did that song. What was the name of that song? Do you remember?
Oh, for the Evangelion movie?
Yeah.
Crap, I can't remember. But it was a good song.
It was really good.
Yeah. And all the songs she's done.
I'm not into Evangelion, but it made it onto my list of songs to listen to from that season. And it is among my favorites of that season.
Nice.
For something I didn't even watch, for a movie I didn't even watch.
And I definitely want to do like sort of an extensive, like maybe a top 10 or something once we get to the end of the year. Just opening and endings all together, just like our top 10 songs featured in anime. At the end of the year. So maybe that will make an appearance.
It might make that list, yeah.
Or at least they, Utada Hikaru, will probably be represented in some fashion.
Almost certainly, yeah.
Yeah.
So what have you got for your best OP?
My best opening, if you've been following the podcast extensively, which I don't expect you to, but it'll probably be obvious, it is the theme from Nomad, a.k.a. the opening to Megalobox Season 2 Nomad.
I think you forgot about Goku Shufudo.
Yes, I do love that opening from House Husband, but I didn't watch that show. But also, the theme from Nomad is so good. Like, I'd already said this before, but it reminds me still of a collision of the song Rumble, Link Ray, old surf guitar kind of legendary song, mashed up with Ecstasy of Gold by Ennio Morricone, a famous Italian composer. Hmm. And it's not like derivative of those. It just reminds me of that feeling. It has the sort of echoey, jangly guitars of a classic surf rock song. And then it's finally on Spotify, the full version. But if you hear it has this cool middle segment, but then it ends with these horns that are just reminiscent of Ecstasy of Gold and a lot of Ennio Morricone stuff. But it's just so, it fits so well into that sort of spaghetti western meets kind of surf rock. I don't know, it's drawing this line between those two things that just tickles me so much, and it fits the tone of Megalobox so
well. Would you consider Megalobox to be somewhat cyberpunk though? Does it have?
Not really cyberpunk. I mean, it's got like that very much Western aesthetic, and then there's a lot of attention to detail with Hispanic culture in it, and so it's
well, you've also got like the armor thing.
Yeah,
there.
The gear.
Yeah, the gear.
That's true. It's almost like
that's what makes me think sort of cyberpunk a little bit.
I guess it's like Western punk or something, or it's like it's not so much the futuristic
Western. I don't know.
Yeah. Even though that technology is futuristic, I don't know. It's an interesting aesthetic, and this is one of those, I think, rare openings that isn't by a different some popular artist. It's done by the composer of the show, Maba Nua, who did the first season as well. And so I think that attention to detail just, he kind of ups the ante from the first season for me. And
I think I've listened to the song once, but are there any like electronic elements to it at all?
Or not really.
Not really?
Yeah, it's a
very... 'Cause he does electronic music as well, right?
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
Okay. That's why I was sort of throwing in that cyberpunk aspect to it, wondering if it encompassed both the Western and the cyberpunk. Mm. Anyway.
Yeah.
Sorry to interrupt.
Oh, no, you're fine. And that's all I have to say, really. I love that show, and I love the opening, and it's all part of a cohesive whole to me, so it tickles me so. But what's our next category,
yeah,
Tony?
Yeah, let's do some best ED, erectile dysfunction. No, best ending theme.
All right.
What do you got?
All right, yes. So for this, I mean, I was tempted to go double Megalobox on this because I do really like the ending, which Maba Nua also did.
I forget the name of it. The something of Callisto or something.
It's like Canto del Colibri or something like that.
I forget.
Okay. Sounds and there's a few different versions of it. There's one that I really like, but I decided, which I think we're the same on this one, but it's got to be Nai Nai, Rayona from Shadow's House ending.
Are you ready for it? Toot, toot, toot.
I don't know the words, but actually the words are so great too.
But I thought we could do the 2-2-2s together. That's what I was trying for.
I know, I fucked up. I thought we were going with the glass breaking. but yeah, this song is really great. It's very well written. The melody is infectious and just refreshing. And the lyrics too, if you pay attention when you're watching the show, they show the translated lyrics. So they're directly relevant to Shadow's House. They actually reveal quite a bit about it if you're paying close attention. And
I'm not sure how accurate the translated lyrics are, but I mean, I'm not sure, so I might be wrong in my impression of this, but I feel like they're inaccurate. But yes, they are somewhat revealing in the subtitle lyrics on the episodes.
Yeah. But it's a good song, and I believe what's your choice for ending theme?
My choice for ending theme. Well, let me do the intro for you. Are you ready? 3, 2, 1. Toot, 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 toot. Yeah. Nai Nai by Rayona.
We got a second take.
Yeah. Nai Nai by Rayona is, so this was sort of a tough call because, the ending theme for My Hero, the Peggies.
Yeah. That's a good one.
Is a great song. And there's a lot of other great songs, but it was really like between those two for me for ending themes. Mm. If it had gone, I don't know if the Peggies had been an opening or something like that, or this had been an opening.
Yeah.
Then like my opening might've changed, because I love Pink Blood, but like, these are like the two big ones for me. So
yeah, and I love Pink Blood as well. I didn't comment on that, but yeah, good choices all around.
And now I'm gonna go off script and say, what? I mean, instead of just best opening, best ending, what about top three songs from this season? I know we didn't rehearse this or anything. Are you okay with this?
Yeah, I think so. I might have to reference my list real quick.
All right. Well, I can do mine.
All right. Let's hear yours.
So, I mean, number one is Nai Nai.
Okay.
For sure. And then, as I sort of indicated, the song by the Peggies, which, what is the name of that song? Why can't I think of it?
Yeah, I can't read Japanese.
Oh, that's Kanji. I can't read that either.
Whatever that Peggy's song is, it's great.
Yeah, the song by the Peggy's, the ending of My Hero. You know the song. And then my third would be Pink Blood.
Okay.
So, nice. You know, the top opening, the top ending, and then the top opening that I couldn't include because it was just pushed out by Nine Eye.
I guess if we're doing this, because we talked about doing best insert song, but then we scratched that. But
I mean, that's my number four song. So,
but then I have a conflict on that. But man, there's a lot of good ones. But I guess I would go Theme from Nomad because I just love it so much. And then, does Godzilla SP count? I feel like no.
No, because we didn't cover it during this season. That's true. I guess we did actually. I covered four episodes of it, but.
Yeah, I would go Theme from Nomad, the Nai Nai, and then just for the heck of it, I mean, we both love Nami Mani Kiss.
We do.
But I'm going to go with a show I didn't watch, but it's an insert song from Vivi.
Vivi, yeah.
Fluorite Eyes.
I mean, you didn't watch. I watched a couple episodes.
You did watch it. And that song is called Ensemble for Polaris. I do like the opening. Sing My Pleasure is good too, but just this very sweet, kind of understated ballad that I assume is part of the show. It's part of the soundtrack. But yeah, Ensemble for Polaris. I just got to go with that. I mean, there's a lot of good songs this season. We kind of dug deep on a lot of them.
Megalo ending didn't make the cut.
It's close. It's in there somewhere. I got a shout out at least when I talked about the opening.
All right, should we sing Nami Mani Kiss now?
Nami.
3, 2, 1. Nami Mani Kiss. Nami Mani Kiss. Kiss, kiss, kiss. Okay.
I lost at the end there.
That's fine. You're going to cut it all out at the end of it anyway.
No, it's staying in.
All right. That's good because I love it. So I made up that category, so you're free to pick another one, I guess.
Oh, am I?
Or I can. I don't care.
Let's go best looking show or best art. Best show to feast your eyes on.
Best look.
What do you got? What do you got?
So I went with Super Cub. I really like the art of this show overall. I like the within the animation the things where like the frame brightens up when Koguma gets excited about something or whatever it is, like that part of it. Like overall the animation not great necessarily, not bad either, but not great. But yeah, the art, it looks gorgeous, really.
Yeah,
like the drawings look gorgeous.
A lot of the scenic shots, like outdoor kind of scenic stuff, especially I remember that first episode was kind of breathtaking. I think a couple other shots hit those heights, but it really started off strong for me.
You've got that overhead shot of the intersection, you know, you see so many times throughout the show with them turning different directions and stuff. And yeah, it always looks good. And yeah, the show looks gorgeous.
And I don't know why, but I'm a sucker for that. Like shots of street lamps and traffic signs.
That's how you know it's an artistic show.
Yes. Or at least it's trying to be.
So what did you select for best art?
There are a lot of options, honestly.
Whatever you're calling us.
There are a lot of options, but I had to give it up to one of the best shows this season, which is Odd Taxi.
It was a close call on that one for me too. That was definitely in my mind.
Visually it stands out among everything just because it's so unique. But that being said, it's so good. I remember I've rewatched that first episode a few times and there's a scene when it's raining. And a lot of the backgrounds kind of have this like watercolor design, but you really notice it in that when it's raining in that first episode, because you can see almost like the watercolor, dripping
smearing
off the buildings. It's so cool. And I mean, from the character design to just the background art and just the whole world, was very well realized and captivating.
Yeah.
I had to give it up for that.
If I didn't think that you were going to pick that, I probably would have picked it. but yeah, it is. It's so well drawn. And the story, I think, gives you a fondness for the art too, because of the way it ends.
It's such a finely tuned show, the whole package. It's hard. It seems weird to single out just the art, but it does so much to elevate everything else that is so well done. Yeah. What do we got next?
So now I got to pick something. All right. So this is a category that I made up prior. You know about it in advance this time.
Yes.
So
that's this nice one I know me. About.
So this is, I guess we'll go best song, worst show first. And I think we probably both have the same thing on this.
I think we do.
Yeah.
I didn't write down the name of it. You probably did.
I didn't write down the name either.
Okay.
But it's the end theme from Tokyo Revengers.
Yep.
Yeah.
By Eil, E-I-L-L. I know E-I-L-L. The artist.
Yeah. It's like, it doesn't even really fit the show, but it's such a good song, like standalone by itself, but yeah. Also like when watching it episode to episode, like that theme starts and it's like that, you know, just like anytime you get into the credits of a show, you get that momentary relaxation from, you know, whatever the heightened emotions are that are in the show. And it just, it fits that so well. And you just like soothe right into it. Right?
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's a great song. Even standalone by itself, you don't even have to watch the show. Just listen to that song.
And that piano, I want to call it a riff. Like, it's just so, like, it's so pronounced. And it might even be sampled. I don't know. It kind of sounds
very,
like
it's very distinct, yeah.
Yeah, it's so good. And, I mean, this is best song from the worst show. But granted, it's, you know, it's a show that we both watched part of. We didn't watch the worst shows of spring.
That's so true. Just of shows that we watched.
Yeah. So it's like not to completely shit on Tokyo Revengers, which I know is extremely popular and people love it. It did not captivate us. And we tried. And the best thing we got out of it was this ending theme, which I don't think is too shabby. It's good. It's a good song.
Why can't I find it? Oh, right. I did look up the name and then I decided not to write it down. It's Koko de Iki wo Shite. And this is what we're talking about. All right, that's probably all that we can get away with on copyright. So.
No takedown. Yeah, that's and that. I mean, that's just one, like, the whole song is good, but that's the hook. Yeah. That's the friggin' hook.
Yeah, it gets you right there, and then like the vocals come in, and then like there's a beat, and like
Yeah, and the bass.
Like, it's all together. Just yeah. It's a really good song.
Yeah, finally put together. All right. Well, I guess we can move on there. Can we go best voice actor, or are you not ready yet?
I mean, I assume that because I went best song, worst show, you were going to go worst song, best show.
Oh, yeah. I forgot we didn't finish that. All right. Let's wrap that up. I forgot. Completely forgot about that. Worst song from the best show. What do you got on that?
Sha-ra-la-la.
Is that
Yeah, I'm counting it.
Oh, wow. Okay.
It's the opening theme from Flying Witch, which is the best show that we covered last season.
Yes. It's not a show from last season, but we covered it during a special challenge.
It is the very best show that we covered last season. Yeah. I mean, I don't know. You can discount it if you want to, but...
I thought of it when we were trying to come up, but I was like... I think you kind of like that song. I hate that song. Like,
yeah,
I can't stand that part.
That's why I chose it. I didn't think that you were going to, and that's why I did.
And I really like that show, too. So that's a really good, like, that's for this category, that is, for me, one of the best choices.
I honestly just couldn't come up with anything because, like, the next closest thing I had was the opening for My Hero, which is, like, a meh show this season, and the song is not very good. So they're both just sort of meh, and that's not really like best show, worst song, you know?
It doesn't fully fit the category.
So yeah, so I went with Flying Witch.
I wish I would have went with that if I would have known it would count. I went with a song that I don't think is bad, but I just think it's immemorable, and it's from a good show. Potentially great show, yet to be seen. But it's from To Your Eternity is the ending theme.
Oh,
and every time I try to think of it, I'm like, what? Why does it go? I don't know.
Yeah.
And even when I played it, I was like, okay, whatever.
Yeah. I think it's called Mediator or something.
Yeah.
It's pretty immemorable. That's true.
And so I'm not going to say it's bad, but especially it's got Pink Blood as the opening. You know, it's assumed it's going to fall short. I don't mean to be cruel, but... that was my pick.
Yeah, that's fair enough. I actually sort of thought about that one, but then I couldn't remember what it sounded like. And
and that was my rationale. Where I'm
that's pretty good rationale, in fact. All right. Well, since I sort of forced you into that category with my category, why don't you choose the next category?
And best voice actor.
I was going to say, and yes, it's too early, but that's fine.
Oh, you wanted to do that second to last?
Yeah.
Oh, well, we can if you want. Sure. Just go down the list then. Because we only have two more before those.
Okay.
So what do you got?
No, what do you got? I told you you're picking it.
Well, best boy. We'll go best boy.
You want to go best boy
best
first?
Best boy. Okay. Best boy.
Right. So for best boy, I chose the Ice Knight from The Saint's Magic Power is Omnipotent.
Aw. The hunk. Interest.
Yeah. he's a good guy. I like him. Mm. And probably really I'm trying to think of other male characters that I actually liked this season, and they're sort of few and far between. Like I was thinking Hige Hiro, that main character, like no, he's not. Mm. He's not best boy. He's never best boy. He never will be best boy. The Ice Knight, Ethan Hawke. No, it's something Hawke. I don't remember what his first name is.
Is that who they got for the dub?
His last name is Hawk. spelled the same way, but I don't remember
Hawks
what his first name
from
is.
My Hero? No, I'm just kidding. Sorry.
No. But yeah, the Ice Knight from Seijo no Mariko.
Nice. He seems like a... I watched one episode of that, which he was not in, I don't think. Or maybe he was.
I don't remember which episode you watched.
Yeah.
I do remember, like, early on, I was behind, and we had to watch an episode together before we recorded.
I don't know if he was in it, like the mage or whatever was in it.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know if he was. Like, he was mentioned, but...
Yeah. All right. Fair enough.
So for me, for best boy, I went with... I'm hoping to blow your mind with this.
Oh.
But I think the best boy this season was Fushi.
Fushi? Ah, yeah. Fair enough. Yeah.
He's gone through a lot. He's learned a heck of a lot.
I was trying to think, like, is it going to be Otokawa? Are you going to go just, like, totally rogue and say Tanaka or Ikai? Ikai would actually not be a bad choice,
yeah,
I suppose.
Go with that.
Is that his name? Ikai?
Imai?
Imai.
Oh, Imai, yeah.
Yeah, Imai. That's what I meant. No, Fushi. Fushi is a solid choice. And
we've literally watched his entire, like, up to this point, you know, his entire growth as a being on this planet.
You could have gone Gugu as well.
Yeah, I did think of Gugu. Which would have been...
But now he's part of Fushi, so yeah. I mean, I think you incorporated him into that very nicely.
Yeah, March is part of that. She's not a boy, but, you know.
Oh, March. I forgot about March. I'm changing my answer for the next one. Well, no, I'm just kidding. I'm not at all.
You got time. You got time.
I am not at all changing my answer for the next one, as much as I love March.
But yeah, I really like Fushi. Once I thought of him for best boy, I couldn't stray from that. So
yeah, no, that's a good call, especially because he's just sort of the character we see him as mostly is known as just the boy, because we don't know the boy's name.
He is
name,
the boy,
right? Yeah,
yeah,
he is the boy,
the boy to end all boys.
All right. Speaking of best girl, which I sort of alluded at before, what do you got? What do you got for best girl?
This is entirely obvious to you that I am going with Shirakawa from Odd Taxi as the best girl, because I love her so.
Fair enough. She's pretty great.
There is one minor plot discrepancy with her. But despite that, she's pretty great. I love her. She's very maternal. She's a nurse, so that fits.
Mm.
And she's just very caring and astute as well. And she kicks butt with her capoeira moves. And she literally saves, saves the main character. Saves his life multiple times, actually, but at the climax of the movie, for sure. And I think she's awesome, and I love her. So, and there's definitely a lot of personal bias with this. She's my waifu.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's how you rate these things. It's not best blah, blah, blah. It's favorite blah, blah, blah.
Yeah,
so,
yeah,
you
yeah.
Know, we just call it the best.
It's entirely subjective, and that's fun. That makes it fun. So what about you? Who's your waifu?
Me? Oh, I chose Otokawa's landlady. No, of course I didn't. It's fucking Kumoko.
Oh, yes, yes. That makes sense.
Yeah, Cubic Girl.
Nice, nice.
Love that Spider Girl.
She elevates every episode she's in.
It's tough because Say from the Saints Magic Power, also pretty like great. Yeah.
Well, that would have been really cute if you're best boy and best girl.
And I honestly forgot about March. But she's got to be in there somewhere too.
Yeah, like, honorable mention.
Man, but no, Kumiko is certainly nice. Number one. Yeah, absolutely. Right, God, she's so great.
Sweet. Best Spider Girl.
Yeah, so next category is Best Spider. What do you got, George?
Kumiko?
Yes, of course. It's Kumiko. All right, anyway, actual next category. We'll go Best Voice Actor / Actress.
All right. This one, this is the one I went with Odakawa. I thought from Odd Taxi, the main character from Odd Taxi, Odakawa. His VA's name I wrote down is Natsuki Hane, and he did the lead in Demon Slayer, and he's done a lot of these other kind of action-y kind of things. And so I saw online that a lot of the reaction was surprising for him to have this role of like an older, you know, mid to late 30s, you know, kind of just, you know, not as exciting as a, you know, it's a Demon Slayer, you know, main character is. But yeah, I thought he did really well. I mean, it's a show I can't, that has so many things to praise about it. But his performance is kind of key to everything that happens around him.
Yeah, that's true.
And I thought it was well done.
Yeah. I mean, I'm trying to think. Nothing outstanding, but like solid throughout.
Yeah.
And like you said, very, very key for him to deliver lines appropriate at appropriate times and stuff like that. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
He kind of carried the whole thing to a certain extent. But yeah, it's not the flashiest or, you know, most in your face performance, but I thought it was, yeah, well done, like for what it was.
Yeah.
What it was supposed to be.
Yeah. I never even really thought much about it because it's one of those characters that the voice is just the character, right?
Yeah.
I never thought about the voice actor behind it or anything. Yeah.
And I think that's praise. Like that's,
solid job.
And
so, mine is, well, you know, it's fucking Kumiko.
Wow, she's like taken away multiple times.
I'm sorry I had to swear twice in this episode, but
we have a young audience.
I had to. It was required. Aoi Yuki.
Oh, yes, that's right. Yes, of course.
She does the voice of Kumiko, who I love. She does the voice of Tsuya, Tsu from My Hero.
Oh, yes.
Who I also love.
Yeah.
And Azusa, who, you know, I'm fond of.
Yeah.
So this season, like, three different characters that I like quite a lot.
Right on. She kind of takes the cake.
Yeah, she's Kumiko and Tsuyu and, I mean, Azusa. Like,
yeah.
I mean, not that Azusa has, or that show has made any of the other categories here tonight, but still a show that I liked.
Yeah. It's mostly Kumiko.
Slime 300, in case you don't know what show Azusa is from. She's from the... I've been killing slimes for 300 years and accidentally maxed out my level. I think that's sort of the name of it. Something like that.
Something like that.
But yeah, Kumiko is definitely like the reason that I even looked her up probably and then realized that she did the voice of Tsuyu. And
Damn, she's killing it.
But yeah, Aoi Yuki. Call me girl.
Girl?
Aoi Yuki? Yeah, call me. Girl? Comma. There's a comma there.
Oh, comma.
Call me, comma, girl.
Call me.
Not call me, quote, girl, end quote.
Call me, girl.
Call me, girl.
Hey, girl. All right. Enough horsing around. This brings us to our final category. Which you've all been waiting for. If you're still listening,
are you still listening? Get at me in the comments. Say I'm still listening.
We should probably just put this out as like a separate, like be part of the podcast, but it could be a separate video on YouTube, like our spring awards.
No, that's fine because this episode would be too short without. I think.
No, I'm saying like a both. They can be part of this and then also a separate thing.
Oh, just sure. Sure. Let's do that.
But yes, our top three anime, and I thought it'd be fun to start from the third. We'll have you start if you're okay with it. And we'll go back and forth and reveal what our rankings are this season.
Starting from the first would allow me to do the same joke three times in a row.
But isn't it more exciting?
It's fucking Kubico.
Isn't it more exciting to end on the number one show?
Yeah, no, that's fine. So my number three this season, I put Odd Taxi. It's really tough. So first place is like a lock. We know.
Okay.
That.
Yeah.
And then from there down, it's like, it's a jumbled mess sort of, but Odd Taxi deserves very high praise. And it could as easily be number two as what I put as number two. Those are almost interchangeable, but that's where I ended up. I put it number three.
Fair enough. It definitely deserves to be in a top three.
What's your number three?
My number three might be perceived as a cop-out, but it is a tie. I initially had one show in here, but then on further...
So you have two number threes?
Well, it's a tie, so, you know.
So so you have two number threes.
Yes.
So there's not a tie for second because...
No, it's a tie for third. It's a tie for third.
All right, fair enough.
Go ahead. Shadow's House and To Your Eternity.
I forgot about To Your Eternity.
Ew.
I really did.
I mean, actually. It's still going, so it's kind of tricky.
Yeah, that's why, I think.
But granted, Shadow's House to me has been more consistent. But To Your Eternity, per the last episode we got during the spring season, is what ultimately elevated it for me. And I mean, not to say that there's not things to like about To Your Eternity, but I took some issue with things here and there. It wasn't as consistent of a experience for me. But then conversely, Shadow's House didn't end as strongly as To Your Eternity did this season. Not that it ended, but... just on the end we got for this spring season.
Yeah.
So it's kind of hard to put To Your Eternity in this ranking since the anime is still going.
Yeah. But, and that's why I completely missed it, is because I went through a list of completed anime and that's what I was looking at.
Yeah.
So I didn't look at My Hero or To Your Eternity.
Yeah.
Or
the two that are carrying over that we're still watching.
I think Shadow's House was on that list though, because I think I've marked it as watched. But yeah, so... So yeah, I refuse to count To Your Eternity as a spring anime. It's now part of summer, and your selection is invalid. Please please choose again.
Nope.
No, but you said there was a tie, so please choose again.
I mean, initially I wrote Shadow's House, so if you...
Oh, Shadow's House was the other one, right. Sorry.
Oh, yeah.
I was trying to be funny, and then I forgot that you already said the other thing up front. You should have said those in the opposite order so I could be funny. Why don't you set me up to be funny more often?
We'll get there. We're working on it.
Hey, lady. Small lady. Small, small, small lady. All right. So I'm adding a new category. It's called favorite quote. Yeah. Before we get to number two, we're going to do our favorite quote from this season.
That we said or from a show?
Whatever you want.
Whatever you want.
Because mine is small lady, which people aren't even going to get for another couple of weeks until that episode comes out, but that's fine. I don't care. It's a preview. It's a preview for you.
Mine is another from that same episode.
Anaza,
where you say, I don't even know. You say it in such a sing-songy way. I was trying to tell you this earlier, but I want to turn it into like a remix. I had several ideas with our Sailor Moon episode, which is upcoming. It's when I'm telling you about Usagi Tsukino, and I'm about to tell you what her name translates to, but of course you already know where I'm going. And so you're like Tsukino, and you're like, with the T, what do you say? You're like, with the T in front. You say it so fast. You're like, with the T in front, with, I don't know. I can't even do it justice, but it's amazing. So look forward to that. It's in the very beginning of our episode.
Tsukino? With the T in front, like moon?
Yeah, yeah. So you're basically saying, like, you're in one short sentence without any breaks or breath, you're asking with a T in front of it, which would translate to moon, but you say it in such a way it's like sing-songy. Like, even when you say moon, like, you the note goes up. I think it's gorgeous.
I think you've listened to it too many times.
Well, I did, because when I was doing the pro EQ, I had done a section of your voice. And that was it. And so I heard that a bunch of times, but then every time I was hearing it after, when I was just trying to edit the episode proper, it was distracting me way too much. And I think it's, there's more to it than me just hearing it a million times.
All right. So everyone be on the lookout for the, electronic jungle remix of me saying something.
Yeah. It's going to be, it's going to be like a remix about us explaining the plot of Sailor Moon Crystal, with Tony's, commentary mixed in.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I don't know how I said it. That's the problem. I haven't listened to it 100 times like you have.
I'll have to show you.
Anyway, we should move on to the number two best anime of spring 2021 in the opinion of George.
Okay, so what we'll do that round robin style. My number two is probably no surprise to anyone that's been following along, but it is Megalobox season 2 Nomad. I liked season one. It was a solid show. I recommend it. This second season, after finishing the first season, didn't seem necessary, but they completely upped the ante. They made me care even more, and they made me cry. And I just love these characters. I love this world. I love the music. I love the animation. It looks really nice, but then it's rendered to look like it's like copied from an old VHS. Like, it has that aesthetic going, which both seasons do. And it's such a unique show. I don't care about boxing at all. I'd never watched a single boxing match in my life, but yet I was captivated by all the events of the season. And it's good stuff. That's my number two.
All right.
How about you, Tony?
My number two is Seijo no Marioko, whatever. The Saint's Magic Power is Omnipotent.
Oh, yes.
Yes. Love that show very much.
Nice.
It's one of those comfy shows you just kind of settle into, you watch, you enjoy, and nothing really has to happen. This one actually has more happen than, like, say, a Flying Witch type show. Mm. But
a little more plot.
But it has that same comfy feeling, you know, just like... just enjoy watching it. Every time I've watched it, I've enjoyed watching it. Yeah.
Right on. That's a similarly, different show than Megalobox, but it sounds like a world and a family that you miss. You enjoyed your time with them.
Characters, for sure.
Yeah.
The world is whatever.
Yeah. You know. Take it or leave it. Yeah.
But the characters, I've gotten to know those characters and
Nice.
I enjoyed spending time with them.
Right on. That's cool.
I disrupted between three and two, so now you get to make up a disruption category between two and one. Can you do that?
Is that a... I mean, usually this would be the spot where you would throw in some also-rans. Sometimes that's a thing. It didn't make the cut, you know, nearly made the top three, or honorable mentions, as you would say. But I'm trying to think. I mean, I already made my third place a tie, so I guess I already kind of shot that.
It's true. It's true.
I honestly can't think of anything else outside those four
What about that I will be mentioning. Best insert song, which you mentioned before.
Which already did.
You know, I don't know. Yeah, that's kind of a cop-out. You're right.
Yeah.
All right, whatever. Let's just go to number one, then.
Yeah, screw it.
All right. What? Oh, no, you ask me, huh?
Yes. What was your number one in spring 2021?
I'm going to swear a third time.
Okay.
Fucking Kumiko. Yeah.
Kumiko!
Kuma desu ga nanika. So I'm a spider, so what? Technically, it started in winter, so I don't know. Like, I think I count it because it ended during the spring season. That's definitely my number one show that I watched during the spring season.
Nice. So this run of just 12 episodes or whatever, 13 or whatever.
I mean, it's
as a whole, but
I wouldn't watch those without watching the first 12.
Well, so. Yeah. But it's continued to be a favorite show of yours, essentially.
I think honestly, I probably like the show more in this season than I did in the first season. So,
all right on.
Despite the human stuff I didn't care about and whatnot,
but then you ended it caring more about the human future stuff.
Yeah, it's actually done a pretty good job of, throughout the whole thing, like from the very beginning, I didn't care about the human stuff, and it's done a good job of making me care slowly throughout until like this point where like the human stuff is realistically probably more interesting than the Kumiko stuff, because I think I know where the Kumiko stuff is going for at least a fair amount of the foreseeable future.
Yeah.
Whereas the human stuff, I'm like, what do they do with this now? So, I mean, they could just ignore it like I did. I don't know, whatever. It could go wrong, but it's interesting. Yeah. Mm. I definitely want to see more of this show. I'm in the second volume of the light novel, and I know that this season ends somewhere in the fifth or sixth volume.
Oh, wow.
So I'm thinking about just skipping ahead and start reading from there.
Yeah, and then if you catch up, maybe go back or...
No, I mean, I'm going to skip everything up until I have caught up with what I've watched to.
Yeah.
And then...
Yeah, I'm saying after that, after you catch up again, then...
Oh, after I catch up to the end of everything that's been published, yeah.
Maybe you go back.
Maybe I go back. We'll see.
That's fair enough. I mean, I did that with One Piece.
Volume two is pretty boring, to be honest with you.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And I know everything that's going to happen in it, and that sort of makes it more boring, I think, but...
Yeah. Fair enough. You don't know when you'll get a new season, so...
Yeah, yeah. So I don't know how far ahead I want to get.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a hard choice.
So what was your number three?
My number three was a tie between Shadow's House and To Your Eternity.
Okay.
My number two was Megalobox.
Megalobox. I'm trying to think of what your number one would be then. What was your number one then?
It should be obvious, but my number one show of this season is Odd Taxi.
Oh, yeah.
It's your number three.
You're right. Should have been obvious. I think I forgot about it because it was my number three.
I know. When you were talking about it.
What is it going to be? Super Cub? I don't think that's right. That doesn't sound right.
When you were talking about it, I thought about chiming in. I was like, well, it's my number one. I don't want to shoot my load, as it were. anyway, sorry about that, guys. Odd Taxi, we've talked about it so much, and you've probably been, if you haven't seen it, you've probably been hearing about it online. It's one of the best shows to come out in a while for me.
Yeah, if you haven't seen it, you probably hate it by now because everyone else is talking about it so much. You're like, ugh, I don't want to watch Game of Thrones. Leave me alone.
Yeah, I mean, I've been there, so I get that. But yeah, I mean, it's a damn good show, and it's worthy of anyone's attention. I think even someone who isn't interested in anime, I would recommend this show to. I hope it gets dubbed. I hope it gets a good dub because it deserves it. And yeah, I will. It's a show I'll be rewatching, which is to me the ultimate review. Something that you are excited to rewatch and are rewarded rewatching. And that is this show, from the music to the characters to the art, animation to the story, the reveals. It, very few anime end this well, and it does it. It sticks the landing, and it justifies most of most of the threads it laid out, and leaves you wanting like a little more. But it's classy. It's a classy show.
Speaking of threads, there's no spiders in it though, right?
I don't think so.
Yeah, then I discount it.
No arachnids. No. I'm sorry.
Doesn't count.
But they know their place. They're not trying to compete with any other arachnid shows.
Oh, I see.
They're like, we'll just take the mammals, okay? But yeah, so that's those are the awards.
Those are the awards. So George.
Yes.
Are there any? This season, this is we've done like our first week of this season. Are there any songs that stood out to you that you would call out at this point? Or I don't have any, so I have no answer to this myself, and it's fine if you don't. I was just curious.
Not really, aside from if I can shout out Godzilla Singular Point.
Oh, okay.
I like the opening. I like the ending too, but the opening's really grown on me. It's just fun and good times. I also know both the Beastars opening and endings for season two.
Oh yeah,
which is coming out of Netflix jail about a week or so.
15th, I think.
15th,
right?
Yeah. Right. And I know both of those, and they're great.
Yeah, they are both great.
But aside from everything else I've seen, yeah, nothing really has grabbed me. Which is surprising because most of them showed intros, which oftentimes the first episode will forego an intro to show more story, but most of these actually did show intros, aside from maybe the detective is already dead. But yeah, I nothing has grabbed me yet.
Yeah, I don't remember anything standing out. The only thing that stood out to me was in Remake Your Life, but that's because it happened after a full episode. Basically, the intro happened.
Oh.
Not that there was anything special about the song, just that it was its placement struck me as memorable. It's the only intro I even remember, even remotely.
Even hearing.
So, you know, maybe this next week we'll hear some more intros from episode ones. And,
And sometimes these...
Maybe something will grab you.
And sometimes these other ones grow on you, like hear it a few times, and you're like, oh, wow, that's pretty good.
Yeah. Yeah, I think, I mean, honestly, like, so for me, Pink Blood probably immediately was like there, right?
Yeah.
But... And the same thing with the Peggy's song from My Hero was immediately there. But Nai-Nai...
The Shadows House ending.
Yeah. I don't think immediately, you know...
Yeah. I remember that because it struck me kind of the first time I heard it. But then I remember, you not initially for you.
But yeah, after a few times of hearing it, like, yeah, it really just sort of sunk in, dug in its claws. And
It's a good song.
It's really good. But yeah, that's gonna do it for episode 3 of season 2 of the Unlike Anime Podcast. These words that I have to say, UMLIKENI. I don't know. I misspelled it that time. Good thing that wasn't the actual thing. So you can find us on all the social medias, YouTube and Facebook and Instagram and Twitter at Unlike Anime. That's UMLIKENIME. Say something to us. Because if you don't, we'll be sad and lonely, and we'll probably cry a little bit. Do you want us to cry? Do you really want to hurt me? Do you really want to make me cry? 80s song reference. Okay. Thanks for listening. I know this one went a little bit long because of the awards. We hope that you enjoyed them. And if you didn't listen to the awards and somehow you're listening to the outro, then... thanks for listening anyway. We're probably going to put the awards as like a secondary show, a little special thing at some point. Like anime.
See you guys.
Bye-bye.